John 5. Let's turn to John 5. This morning we're going to read the story about the lame man. Now, it does not mean he wore tie-dye and was lame. And thank you. There was a couple. I'm going to move away for Jesse. She gave me, really? You made that joke? He wasn't lame. He wasn't like, oh, you're so lame. Look at you. No, he had a problem with mobility, right? And so we're going to read John chapter 5, verse 1, and we're going to go all the way through 16. So we got quite a bit of scripture to read here. And after this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. And now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market. Have you ever been by a sheep market? I'll tell you, it's better than a pig market. But it's still any kind of animal market. It's not the best smelling markets in the world. We know that there's not a reason why they call it the Dairy Air. We're the Dairy State, and when they call it Dairy Air, I mean, even in the spring, even we don't live right by a farm, but you could smell the scent every once in a while just wafting over. And, it's hard when you want to have the windows open, and then that comes in because I say, like, I don't want my clothes smelling like that and me not knowing, and then go somewhere because my windows are open and everybody else smells something I don't smell. That could preach right there. You get used to your environment. It may be a stinky environment. You may have a stinky attitude and not even know it. And when you get around, you wonder why everybody's looking at you weird. Why is everybody always looking at me? You stink. But you got used to your environment. You don't even know it. Okay. That's good. That's good. And I'll just leave it at that. That's good. And so they're at the sheep market at a pool. Now, this pool, pools are always a great idea. But at this, it says in the Hebrew tongue that it is the pool of Bethesda here. Now, it had five porches. I told y'all Jesus hung out in the south. It had five porches. And verse 3, and these laid a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind and halt, withered, waiting for the movement of the water. Now, I would just give you a background. This pool, what had happened is the waters would trouble. And I don't know exactly what it would look like, but in my mentality, it's just a ripple became on the water. It began to, it was like the water was moving, and it had to be enough to know. It couldn't be just like the wind blew and, there would be a little bit of waves on the pool, or you could see the water. In fact, this was the water was moving. So I'm expecting like an angel almost did a cannonball. The water is moving. It's troubled. It's at a place that is undeniable that an angel of God is there. Because otherwise, you could just blow it off as other things. It had to be something that they could physically see that could not be explained by natural circumstances. And so the water was troubled. Verse 4, and for the angel went down at a certain season in the pool, and the water was troubled. Let me tell you this too before we got there. This, now we don't know this by the Bible, but we know this by historical documents. It actually started around the birth of Jesus. Isn't that awesome? His whole birth caused things to happen in the world that were not happening before his birth. Now, again, biblically, we can't point back to this, but in historical documents, it started showing up the time of the birth of Christ. And so, the angel would come down, trouble the water, and then people would jump in. And the first person that got in was healed. So, angel come down, touch the water, cannonball in, and the essence, the glory of God, this angel hung out with the glory of God. And so, we got this with Paul. By his shadow, people were healed. They would cut up his clothes and give it to people because the anointing would soak into his clothing and healings would happen because people touched his clothes. Could you imagine preaching and you take your jacket off and you leave it and you go back and there's holes in your jacket? Be like, okay. Who, be like, I am wearing, I just start going to the dollar store or Walmart and buy my clothes if people started cutting them up. Because I'm like, I ain't buying expensive clothes if you're just going to cut holes in them. Things were happening, the anointing of God. So I just imagine the angels just get in there and having a good time, jumping in, cannonballs, all this good stuff, a normal angel pool party. And so the anointing would get in the water. People would notice, hey, the water's moving. They would jump in and there would be a residue of the glory that would hit them and cause them to be whole. All of a sudden, they soaked up the goodness of God. Can I tell you something? You can soak up the goodness of God. You can get in the anointing and soak it up. Can I tell you something? When praise and worship is happening, the Spirit of God is here. The Bible tells us that God inhabits the praises of his people. So I wonder how many people will notice the troubled water and then just begin to jump in and get what it is they need. Because a lot of people, the water is being troubled and they just watching the water. Waters are up this morning. Look at all the waves. But there's going to be some people that are going to jump in. Look at your neighbor and say, jump in. Jump in. So when we're having praise and worship, there's something. Can I tell you something? There's something about praise and worship that there's a group of people praising God. One will put 1,000 to flight. Two will put 10. You need to jump in when you got two. And you got a lot more than two here this morning. So during praise and worship, you should connect with the Lord. Jump in the water. Oh, Lord Jesus, I feel good this morning. And so we need to jump in the water this morning. We need to jump in the water on our own time. We need to jump in the water when we're together, especially when we're together. Because there's something about a corporate anointing that you can't get into on your own. Not that you can't experience God. It's just different. It's like asking what child you like the most. Some of you may like one of them the most. Or let's say love. Let's say love, because like and love is different. Don't look at me like that. Be like, I love and like all my children the same. Okay, well, you're better than I am. There's days that I like one of them better than the other, because sometimes children are jerks. Sometimes. And I love them. I will always love them. Don't act like you wasn't a jerk. Just start thinking about the thing. I remember when I had kids, I called both my parents. I said, Daddy, Mama, I just want to say I'm sorry. I'm sorry for being selfish. I'm sorry for being a jerk. I'm sorry for crying when I didn't get my way. I'm sorry that I didn't think of anybody but me. I'm sorry. Sorry. And if you haven't apologized to your parents, shame on you. Call them and tell them you're sorry. And I know they love you. I know they forgave you. I know all that, but you realize it when you see little jerks that are like you. It's just a part of it. And some days I may want to hang out with one more than the other. And I'm going to tell my wife because I'm up here and I can't see her face. But there's times where she'll say, you take this one and you get them out of the house now. I'm like, yes, ma'am. Come with me. We're going to get ice cream. And sometimes you just got to take one or both of them because sometimes they're just being a jerk. And maybe not even to you, but to each other. And you can only handle that for so long. So get in the anointing. Don't be a jerk. Jump in. It's more than about you. You should worship for more than just you. You should get in the glory of God for more than just you. If it's just about you, you're still a jerk. You need this word this morning. In praise and worship, in the goodness of God, the blessings of God, if it's all about you, you are a jerk. If it's just about how much money you can get, how much blessing you can have, how much healing you can have, how much of the glory that if you're, I just want my face to shine like Moses. I just want to shine. I just want to shine. What is it all about? It's still about you. But you should worship for other people because your worship brings freedom. Your worship brings freedom, and it's more than just you. You've got to become a disciple of Jesus. You've got to become so full of God on the inside of you that you bring God around everywhere you go, not just so you can say, oh, the glory. Can I tell you something? I remember in a hospital room, I was visiting someone, and I didn't realize there was one of those slider lights, and it was dim in there, and I just leaned back, and the light started coming on, and I realized instantaneous why. And so I just immediately put my hands in the air, and I began to lift, and the light's getting brighter, and it's just over me. And I'm like, oh, the glory. And the person just had surgery, and they had stitches, and they're laughing. And they're like, please quit. Please quit. It hurts so bad. It hurts so bad when I laugh. And so at the end, I turned the light off, and I couldn't help but to do it one more time. Why? Because I was being a jerk, and I was hurting other people. I did mean to. It was hilarious. But some of us are in the things of God, and it's all about us. It's all about our blessing. It's all about my kids. It's all about the vacation. It's all about going to see that mouse in Disney World. It's all about us. us and what we can get and what we can have, and the promises that are flowing in us are the position we stand in church, our departments, our homes. What all about us? And can I tell you, it's more than just you. You need to flow in it. You know, because Jesse said this morning, if you're right in the wrong reasoning, if your mentality's wrong, you're still wrong even though you're right. Because it's not about us. If your blessing is just about you and your family and the goodness of God and experience that for yourself, you are still wrong. You are still wrong because it's not what it's for. It's about other people. Your whole life should be giving to other people. Your whole life should be causing others to experience God, others to experience the anointing. You need to be healed, not so you can just walk around and say, look, I feel good. You need to be healed so that you can live a long life, so that you have more time and opportunity to present the case of Christ to a lost in a dying world. Healing is not just so you can feel good. It's so that you can show good to other people. I'll come right over here to this crowd. I told you it gets better. It gets better as you respond. You're by yourself. I'm sorry. Sit with other people. Sit with other people that praise the Lord. You're all either that or you turn around and look at people and say, y'all better stop clapping. You better start. You better start shouting. You better start doing something because I'll come to where it is. And so it's not about us. It's not even about financially. Being blessed financially is not about you, even though it goes into your hands. But there are people that need a blessing. They need a blessing. And how can you give when you're broke, busted, and disgusted? Oh, now, no condemnation. You may be broke, busted, and disgusted. If your car didn't have all those bumper stickers, it would fall apart. That may be where you are, but God wants to bless and increase you in your life so that you can bring blessings and increase into other people's lives. It's not just about having the nice car and the vacations. Nothing wrong with that stuff. Nothing wrong at all. I think you should be so blessed that you should be able to bring your children's friends on vacation if they can't do anything like that, so they can experience a godly family and how it operates and how it's supposed to operate. I'll tell you what, Jessie is not so much, you know, a touchy-feely person, right? That's just not who she is. It's who I am. It's not who she is. And so I will tell her, we need to hug and kiss right now because the kids are watching and they need to know how this operates. They need to see a mama and a daddy who love each other. Come on in here. Get some. We are not done yet. They need another example. They need an example of how loving, godly families operate. Staying right up here. Mm-hmm. I am going to be preaching for the rest of my sermon from the back room. And so the pool was troubled. There, can I tell you something? You could tell when the angel was in the water. You could tell when the presence of God was in the water. The world can tell when the presence of God is in your finances, in your attitude, and in your life. Because all of a sudden, your life looks different than all the rest of the pools. Your life looks different than all the rest of the earth. Your life looks different than everybody else that is at the job, at your location. Why? Because there is a party going up in your pool. Everybody else's water is slick. Everybody else's water is not troubled. Everybody else's water is one way. They have one response, and they look at your life and they can see that the water is troubled. They may have no idea what the trouble is. They may have no idea why the water is shaking like it's shaking, the waves or the splashing, but it's because the glory is on the inside of you. It's because the anointing is flowing in your life. It's because God has troubled the waters. Oh my goodness. Look at your neighbor and say, God, trouble my waters. And so all of a sudden we got a man 38 years. He's been sick for 38 years. Oh my goodness. That's a long time to be dealing with something. Sometimes, there's been people who've gotten healed in meetings that had, I think, what is that, tinnitus? What is that, ringing in the ears? And they got so used to it. What is it? Tinnitus. I was close. But see, I don't deal with it, so I don't have to worry about it. But they've had it for so long, they're just so used to it. And I remember I was at a meeting, and the guy says, the ringing, it's done. It's done. It's over. I don't hear it. He's like, I got so used to it, I didn't know what life was without it. He's like, it didn't even bother me. I just got so used to it. Can I tell you, I love this. This is my favorite, one of my favorites I've had. You know, we've seen people get out of wheelchairs. We've seen we've seen certain things happen. And I remember I was in a prayer line, and I asked the guy, you know, he came up, and we were laying hands. And I move kind of fast sometimes. And, you know, sometimes, I don't know. It's just different every time. And he just looks at me, and he's holding his wrist. He says, my wrist. And I said, oh, okay. Now hold your hand up real quick. And his hand was straight up, like his wrist was straight. He wasn't moving his hand. And I said, well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that it's healed right now in the name of Jesus. He looked at me. Tears began to stream down his face. And I just looked at, you know, you ever have a natural thought? I'm in ministry, and I had a very natural thought right then. I thought, either he's healed or he's hurt. I don't know which one, but let's move on. Let's move on. I'll ask him later. Either I hurt the man or he's healed. I don't know what just happened. And afterwards, he stayed up there the whole time. And when I started making my way back, I kept hearing him say, he's like, oh, I can move my wrist. And he started, I think it was 15 years. So afterwards, I told him, I said, I want to talk to you after I'm done praying for people. And so right when I was done, I went to him and I said, what happened? What happened to you? Tell me what happened to your wrist. He said, I'm in construction. And he said, I fell off of a ladder and I hit the ground. I hit the ground with my hands. I didn't land on my side like you're supposed to. I didn't do that. I landed on my hands. I shattered my wrist. He said, for 15 years, I've had a metal rod. And I have not been able to move my wrist. It's been straight. If I wanted to move my wrist or my hand a certain way, I had to move my whole hand. I had to move my whole arm because I had a metal rod. And God caused that metal rod to dissipate instantly in a healing in his life. Why? Because the waters were troubled. Yes, but see, this, they experienced the waters being troubled once every so often. A season, maybe four times a year. That we don't know. We don't have record of how often it was troubled. But this is the good news. We can live in troubled waters. We can live with the glory of God rising up in our life all the time. We don't have to wait to see the water moving. We actually can go to a place and cause the water to move. We can see somebody's pool that is slick and calm and knowing they need something because the glory that lives on the inside of us, we can take a cannonball dive right off the side and trouble the waters. Why? Because the one who troubles the waters lives on the inside of us. And there's no such thing as where we go that the glory doesn't trouble the world. You want to know why they've set themselves up against you? You want to know why things can be hard at certain times in your life? It's because the world recognizes when you show up, you bring troubled waters. Because they got used to their situation. They're fine right where they are. They want change, but not enough to pursue it. And so when you show up, you trouble. You trouble everything because all of a sudden the status quo is not good enough anymore. The way we live is not good enough anymore. The way they're fine with their marriage being like it is. They're just fine. And then you show up and you show that it could be better. You exude love from the inside out. And they're not used to that. And you cause things to trouble. You cause things to stir. You cause people to want more of God. Some of them don't even know why they want what they want. All they know is you have showed up. And they can't even put their finger on it. This is, okay, I don't really watch this show a lot, but Jesse loves the singing and all that good stuff, those shows. And there will be somebody who sings. Can I tell you something? I love watching people who sing, really sing, that they're anointed to sing. They may not even know why they're anointed to sing. I think Whitney Houston was called by God. Her voice is amazing. I think Eminem called by the Lord. He's got a talent. He's got something on the inside of him. And when people step in their calling, whether they're saved or not saved, there is an anointing because they connect with their purpose. They connect with their calling. There are businessmen and women that get into it. There is an anointing. Everything they touch prospers. Why? Because they get into their calling. They're called by God. And so when we get into our purpose, whether we're saved or not saved, that's why there are a lot of used car salesmen that are anointed to be preachers. Why? Because they are so good at what they do. And then they find a way to release their calling. Hopefully in a good way. But, you know, I'm not going there. But there's, when we get in our calling, so when I watch these shows, I love watching these shows when somebody steps into their calling. And then even the judges don't even know how to explain it. There's just something about you when you begin to sing, the hairs stuck up on the back of my neck, and I want to shout through the TV, it's the anointing! It's their purpose. It's their call in life. I have watched people sing on television and the anointing, and I have cried and raised my hands. It's not even a godly song. It's not even a Christian song. And I'm like, Father, I thank you that at 16, 17, 18, some of them 8 years old, that they have found their calling. Thank you. Now, God, touch their lives so they know what their calling is for. And can I tell you this, too? I don't expect everybody who can sing amazing to get into the Christian singing. I don't think everybody's called. That is called to sing is called to be a Christian singer. I think there are some secular singers out there that can have a purpose in life to show people the way to God and not be in the Christian circuit. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying everybody who has a call needs to be in ministry. No, we need businessmen and women. We need people to stand in their place. We need people in government. We need people singing. We need Christians out there in the world, not in the Christian market, but in the secular market. We need Christians making great movies, not crappy Christian movies that are terrible. We need good movies. Yeah, we need good movies. We need all these things. So not everybody's supposed to, once they find their calling, because we almost think they found their calling, now they need to do it in the church. Yeah, they need to bless the church, but some of them are supposed to work completely outside the church. They're not called in the church. And so stop judging people. They're good, but if they were really a Christian, they would be in the Christian market. No, why don't you go to Zion? America has tried to make Christian cities a long time, and they've all failed. Or drink the Kool-Aid or something. They all fail miserably. Why? Because we're not supposed to be separate from the world. We're supposed to be in the world, but not of it. Like Jesus, who never compromised, but the world loved him. They surrounded themselves with him. Why? Because they liked him and they knew he had something that they needed because he was in his place. When you step into your calling, people are attracted. They're drawn to the calling. Why? Because they know there's something you're doing that you're supposed to be doing. They may not even be able to put it in word, but when you get into your calling, you're in an anointing. A purpose. And I always love when these singing shows, when they have a Christian on there, because they will say it. They'll say, they're like, girl, you are anointed. That when you begin to open your mouth, the anointing just came out. And the ones that are don't even know church, they're all just looking at the what? And there was one girl, I think it was Brandy. I don't even know. I would say like, high five you, girl. You know the anointing when you see it. That is the anointing. They stepped into their purpose. They stepped into their calling. So I want us to be very careful as a church not to judge others because we believe it should be one way when it should be another. We so many times believe it has to look like the mold. Can I tell you something? Our church is going to do things that does not look like the normal church. And we're going to have people who do not look like the normal people, but they're going to step into their anointing. And they're going to do it. And it will be in a manner that you may not be used to. Sometimes we laugh, sometimes we shout, sometimes we run. But there's going to be moves of God that we haven't even experienced yet. And we don't even know. We don't even know. It looks different, but we just know it's God. Because the waters are troubled. Get into the water. Do you know, have you ever been in sometimes in the fall or the spring in Florida, when we would swim, the water would be warmer than the air. The water would be warmer than the air. So I would go swimming. I'd stay out there too long. It starts getting cold, and then you would see me, my head would be, just, and then I'd get under, or lay on my back and have my head and my nose just sticking out, and it's so warm in the water, but the moment I stand up, I'm freezing. And so it's better in the water. It's better in the things of God. It's better in the anointing. It's better in your purpose. Jump into the pool. Stay in the pool. Get a snorkel. Stay under the water. It's better in the water. The moment you think you figured it out and how life should go, and I've got this thing worked out, and you get out of the water, it's not as good. Stay in the water. Look at your neighbor and say, stay in the water. Oh my goodness. So let's talk about this real quick. Where was this pool at? It was the pool of Bethesda. It's got the word Beth in it, right? What does the word Beth mean when we see it in the Bible? Anyone? I'll give you a hint. I talked about it when we talked about Bethel. Bethel. What does Bethel mean? Oh, house of God. So you got two words. What does Beth mean? House. You got it. Way to go, little Bible scholars. And so we got Bethel, where we have Elohim, El meaning God. So Bethel, the house of God. Bethel, house, El, God. Bethel. And so here we got, Bethesda. And Bethesda, I'm trying to see, trying to remember what Thesda means. Thestal, the house of Esther. No, I'm just kidding. Mercy. That's what it means. It means mercy, the house of mercy. Mercy. It was the house of mercy. We should live in the house of mercy. We should live, look at your neighbor and say, live in the house of mercy. Because, let me tell you this, healing is by the mercy of God. Blessing is by the mercy of God. All of this is by His mercy. You can't walk in healing without mercy. You can't walk in goodness without mercy. You can't walk in the anointing without mercy. You need to soak yourself in the pool of Bethesda. You need to jump in and never get out. Why? Because there's more people that need the house of mercy working on the inside of their lives than ever before on the face of the earth. And you can be the one to bring them to the pool of Bethesda. But let's look at a couple more houses here. Bethsaida. Now, this is the house of fish. Bethlehem, the house of bread. Bethpage is the house of unripened figs. We can burn that one down. I don't like figs. Oh, I'm sorry for all my fig lovers in here. I can see it all over your face. You know what you do with figs? You boil them down and you make a jam out of it with a lot of sugar. You want to know why? Because people don't like figs. You got to put a lot of sugar in there. Yeah. But he probably liked them. That's why he cursed them. But anyway. My point this morning, you might ask, what is your point? My point is, you know, I use the word trouble. And I'm not meaning, you know, I'm meaning to make commotion. Wherever God shows up, He troubles the waters. He makes commotion. He makes commotion. And people, you know, there's always people that are drawn to the commotion of God. And there, I find that most religious people don't like the commotion of God. You want to know why? Because it messes up their commotion. It messes up their plan. It messes up what they're doing. It messes up their idea of how church should be. And I'll bring this point out. We'll talk more about it next week. But one of the things that happened is that when this guy, because, you know, Jesus talked to him. We'll get into more of the story next week. But when this guy got healed, Jesus told him, rise up, take your bed, you're healed, get out of here. And he gets up. Now, it says it's on a Sabbath. Now, what day is the Sabbath? Oh, good for you, my little Bible students. I'm so proud of you. Most people would have said Sunday. No. Why do we have church on Sunday? Anyone know? First day of the week, that is true. It was, we wanted to start off our first day of the week and the day that Jesus rose from the dead. We wanted to, the church in the beginning wanted to have church on the same day Jesus rose from the dead and to start off our week with praise and worshiping the Lord. So, good job. One day we should have Bible trivia. It'll be fantastic. And so the reason we have church on Sunday is on the day that Jesus rose from the dead and just start off our week worshiping the Lord. But the Sabbath, the Jews made so many laws. And they went to the guy that was healed and said, excuse me, sir. I see that you're carrying your bed. Our rule is you don't work on Sundays. Sabbath. You don't work on Saturdays. Now, technically carrying your bed is not work, but it awfully looks like it. How many of you, have you ever gone to Israel? Anybody ever gone to Israel? Okay, we got a couple hands. And you can tell me if I'm right or wrong. Elevators, you can't take them on Saturdays. You can't. Certain ones for Jewish people. Now, the elevator, they have no buttons. The ones that are for the Jewish people, they step in and it goes to every floor. It stops at every floor. Why? Because they are not allowed to push a button on the Sabbath. Because the moment you push the button, electricity sparks. There's electric, they can't turn on or off lights. I wonder if the clapper would work. I don't know. I don't know if that works or not. But you're not allowed to turn anything on because religion has taken the mentality, the law from God, to rest and keep the Sabbath day holy, which Jesus even said when they came and questioned him, what if your ox falls in the ditch? He said, get your ox out of the ditch. Just don't make it a practice and don't push the ox in the ditch to go get them out to miss church. Okay, and so God made a law, but the religious people took it too far. Religion always takes it too far. They always take it too far. Now, we know this because when they found him and they found out who told you to do this? He says, the man that healed me. He didn't even know who did it. He said, the man that healed me. He told me. And they wanted to find out who did it so they could stone him to death. Because it was done on a Sabbath. It was done on a holy day. Question, should people not be blessed and healed on the holiest of holy days? Should people not come in contact with God on a holy day? How messed up is religion that man would say, you healed someone on God's day? How dare you? Let's kill you now. You did something that God commands us to do. Heal the sick, and it can only be done by God. And you did it on his day? Oh, no, 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 no. Kill you now. Only religion can get so messed up. Only religion would get so messed up that it says if you beat yourself till you're bloody, that will get you close to God. If you get down on your hands and knees and climb thousands and thousands of stairs until your knees are bleeding and you're bruised and you're wore out, that will get you close to God. How about never leaving the presence of God? How about having the Holy Spirit live on the inside of you? Only religion can get so messed up that they misunderstand how God wants you to live in the house of mercy. Let's go before the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the house of mercy.
I want to ask you the same question that Jesus asked that man that same day. Do you want to be made well? The last thing I want to do is be insensitive. I truly believe, of course, we want to be made well. I believe there are all areas of our life where we need to be made well. Whether there is health issues, mental issues, or just areas we can improve ourselves. But I know the question that I have to ask myself, am I willing to put in the effort? Thank you so much for listening. And I hope this series on Face to Face with God has blessed you.